The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn, joined by Andy Holding, to look ahead to Fairy House's card on Wednesday evening. We've got 8 races to look at, all on the flat, and there's some decent contests, I think. Certainly money to be made. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, and you?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, definitely.
Good start.
Yeah, got a good weekend coming up.
We're okay.
Well, it's the World Cup, isn't it, tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be... What an amazing couple of weeks of sport we got. Not only the World Cup starts tomorrow, but next week we've got Wimbledon and Royal Ascot as well.
Exactly.
How are we going to find time?
I know. And this is my final shift, and then I'm off for 5 days on a stag do. Can't complain, can you?
If the stag do is incorporating...
It is incorporating England, Italy and Chester races.
Oh, God.
So
that is just class.
I know. Not bad, is it?
That, does it?
In fact, any listeners, if you know anywhere to go in Liverpool to watch football, tweet me. At AlexDunn0307.
So, could we say if Kelly Brook asked you for a date on that particular day you're going on the stag do, I think you probably might even turn her down.
I would invite her along.
You'd invite her along. Well,
apparently she knows a form, so...
That's the only way that day could get better.
Yeah, I know. And the weather's going to be beautiful as well, so... But anyway, we digress. We're here to talk about Irish racing. Like I said, 8 race card at Fairy House. I'd say it's pretty competitive, although a few of the races have got maybe less runners than we're accustomed to in Ireland. Oh, well, I say that. There's 2 races that have got 8 runners or less. But I certainly think that there's a bit of value to be found today.
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you look away from the norm, then you are going to be looking down the barrel of some good prices. There are a few shorties, courtesy of victories last time out, and from stables that bookmakers run scared of. So that's probably why... A couple of them we'll deal with later on are sort of 5-4, 6-4 in handicaps of 14, 15 runners or more, where you'd normally see 4-5-1 the field. So it makes my life a little bit more difficult trying to find one to beat them, but that's what you pay me for.
Absolutely.
Well, not you particularly. But
I don't pay. Do we actually pay you?
Amazingly, yeah.
Oh, right. I thought this was just something that you enjoyed doing, so I'm not getting paid. This is awkward, isn't it?
It is. Yeah,
oh,
sorry,
dear.
I'll just.
I'm going to have a word with someone then.
You are now, yeah.
All right, well, we better go into the action then before
I... You're going to put the fans on me now. I'm not getting paid for doing it. It's no point me doing it.
I'll just get half of yours, Andy. Don't worry.
Okay, right.
Right, we'll start with the 5.25.
Well, you could just back my selection.
Yeah, true. It's a Filly's Maiden over 6 furlongs. Not a lot of form to go off here. Looks one of the more tricky races to call, obviously, because there's a lot of unknown quantities in there. Where should we start here?
Well, start off by mentioning Devonshire, who's quite speedily bred by Fast Company, who's had a good start to his career as a sire. And interestingly, the bookmakers have put this one in relatively short, anticipating a good run from a yard that had a group winner, a surprise group winner as well, Sunday at Leopardstown in the shape of Indigo Lady. So the yard's in good nick, reasonable draw as well, and it wouldn't be in sort of Sheikh Mohammed's mind normally to send a horse to Willie McCreary unless he thinks he can do the job. So that one's definitely one to keep an eye on in the betting, but as it stands, the two with form that I quite like are Gussie Goose, Philly by Daniel Dancer, trained by David Watchman, who shaped quite encouragingly first time out. Now, he's turning out to be quite a decent Filly's Maiden at the Curra. That was back on the 24th of May. It was won by Jeannie Girl, who had the experience of a previous run at Nace. That race contained a whole host of interesting performers, none more so than Anthem Alexander, who finished down the field. I think he finished seventh, actually. But absolutely trotted up back on better ground next time out at Tipperary, and I think goes to the Queen Mary next week. So considering that Gussie Goose just finished behind that horse and didn't get the clearest of runs, I think she could improve significantly, and she would be my choice. And the other one to keep an eye on is Havana Bell. Not as well drawn as my selection, Gussie Goose, but I thought she shaped quite encouragingly behind Stella Street here last week, or the last meeting, in a race which also contained quite a few nice fillies. She fluffed the start from a bad draw, but did really well to finish where she did in the end, seventh. And interesting that Sean Corby could have ridden in Hamilton today on a horse that he rode last time out called Lady Ranger, and he stayed over to Fairy House to ride one or two. So I'd have to go with both of those two. The two that have had a run in reasonably good fillies maidens. Hopefully one of them might be good enough.
Okay, next up is the 6 o'clock. 7 furlongs the trip for this one. 6 runners down to go to post at the time of recording. And you could give a squeak to all six, I'd say, here. We've got some interesting contenders. Colour Blue was a winner last time out. We've got Slipper Orchid, who's very, very consistent. And Hidden Oasis, who heads affairs, is 13-8 as we speak. David Watchman trains, JP McManus owns, Fran Berry takes the ride, and this one has bits and pieces of decent form, but is returning from a pretty healthy absence here.
He is, and not only that, Alex, all his best form's on a soft surface. I'd be really worried about taking a short price about him today. As you said, off the back of a long layoff, we just don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. I really did like this horse as well last year. He landed a few nice touches for the podcasters last year, including when he won at Nace. He's got a really good turn of foot, this horse. But I just have to pass him over tonight, particularly at 13-8. The one I'm going to go with here is Slipper Orchid, a horse that has had one or two runs already this season. She won on the Dundalk card back in March in pretty impressive fashion, quickening up from a long, long way back. And that is usually her run style. She does get herself miles behind and then finishes well. And the two times she's run on the last two starts, Nace really wouldn't really be suiting her, particularly the way the track at Nace is riding at the moment. It's very much off the front, as I mentioned one or two times in the previous reports and previews. Unless you're not in the first half dozen turning into the home straight at Nace, you're absolutely dead in the water. And Slipper Orchid had no horses behind. It was actually last with 2 furlongs to run, so did incredibly well to finish second behind Tested, who previously run well in the Irish 1,000 guineas. This smaller field should suit. She won't get too far back. She's run well here before. And, yeah, her turn of foot down the straight could be the deciding factor. So Slipper Orchid to come from a long way, well, hopefully not too far behind, in the 6 o'clock.
OK, next up is the 6:30. It's a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. And Photo Call looks pretty hard to beat here. David Watchman trades once again. Wayne Lorden takes the ride this time. I mean, the form of this filly's pretty good, it's fair to say, behind La Hinch Classics, who then went on to be second to Volume, who was third in the Oaks on Friday. And then the second one was behind Table Rock for Aidan O'Brien, who has since gone in. Form looks solid, doesn't seem to be up against much. Are the others playing for place money here?
Yeah, this is an absolute certainty. I'm totally amazed that this horse is bigger than 1-2 this morning. I thought the Racing Post had got it absolutely spot on, 1-2. I thought, well, if it went off 1-3, 2-7, you couldn't argue with that. Unless there's something lurking in amongst the unraced brigade. I mean, this horse will win on the bridle. As you mentioned, the two runs so far to date read really well. Behind La Hinch Classics, who was second to Volume at Newbury. And then that Mascoon maiden, which I'm sure podcasters are pretty in tune with by now. They should be anyway, if you've been paying attention to that race. It's just worked out amazingly well. As you said, Table Rock has won subsequently. He's won a couple of times. Earth Drummer, who was fifth, we backed that the other night at Limerick. And we went for a touch on Rapstar, who was well beaten on that occasion. He finished third at the Curragh on Sunday. Horses like Blackstone, who finished third in the maiden. Pivy's Pride, third in a maiden. And even Angel of Joy the other night at Roscommon. We were unlucky with that one, to be fair. That looked like winning and just got nutty on the line. So every horse so far that's come out of that Navan maiden, which was an amazingly fast speed figure, have all either won or finished play. So it'll be an absolute miracle if this horse gets beat. It's dropping back down in trip, which I think will suit because he travels really strongly. If I was Wayne Lord, I'd just try and make all the running. Keep it simple. You're on the fastest horse, the best horse. even like I say, even 8 to 15, I wouldn't put anyone back in that at that price. I think it'll win easily.
Okay, Photo Call, a very confident selection there in the 6.30, but the price does reflect that. Next up, the 7 o'clock is a handicap over 7 furlongs, one of the more competitive races of the day. At the time of recording, the 4-1 market leader is Northern Surprise, given a few of them in my time. It is a tricky race, this one, Andy. Northern Surprise drawn in 17, but you could give chances to a few of these on bits and pieces of their best form.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I do like Northern Surprise. He's quite a big, strong gelding by Asamoah. Lots of scope to him, and he won quite snugly last time out at Sligo. I think there's more to come from him as well, but he's got a terrible draw here to overcome. Stall 17 of 18. So life won't be made easy for Timothy Doyle, three-year-old. More to the point as well, so far today, all his best forms have been with plenty of cut in the ground. Conditions over in Ireland at Fairy House are very much like they are over here. They're going to be drying out throughout the day. No rain forecast. So he doesn't really make too much appeal at 4-1 given the circumstances of the race tonight. So I'm going to go with Jackie Ellis and suggest we back her each way from the Paul Flynn stable. Joseph O'Brien takes the ride. He rode this horse here at the last meeting when just nutted late on by Local Flyer, but he's got a much better draw than his main rival, because she's drawn 16, whereas Jackie Ellis has got the luxury of getting a good run, we hope anyway, from stall 2. So that just slightly tips the balance in favour of Paul Flynn's Jackie Ellis, with a good course and distance run under her belt, and she looks a fair each way bet at 6-1.
OK, next up, the 7.30, handicap over 7 furlongs once again. Another really open race, this time 9-2 the field, straight of Zanzibar, just heading affairs at the time of recording, but it is very, very tight and a pretty compressed betting market for this one. One horse that my eyes are immediately drawn to is Ask Dad, purely because I followed that horse off a cliff. Probably, again, Not today, but what do you fancy
here? I think if you asked your dad, he'd probably sit you down, Alex, and say, what are you doing?
Well, it's one of those ones. It ran in, I think, what was it, the Irish Guineas? Not long ago.
No.
And he's now on a mark that you just think, if retaining any ability, that's got to absolutely hose in. And in fairness, did show bits and pieces of ability, and then has tailed off again in the last three runs. But 20-1 is the kind of price that you can look at and go, oh, is it worth, is it? And it never is. But
this horse is like one of those old girlfriends that she always asks you out for a date and you think, yeah, this is going to be my night, we're going to go out as a couple, like, blah, blah, you know, we're going to be cementing our relationship. And then she just says, you know, look, Alex, I really like you, but I want to be friends. So
that's happened so many times,
yeah,
as well, Andy.
You need to ditch that project,
right?
Me.
Okay, what are you going for?
Get you anywhere. I'm going to go with Lily's Prince. Garvin Dolan is charged bolted up here the last time we saw her. Clearly likes the track. And I think the step up in trip actually will bring out even more improvement in this horse, who came from a long, long way back to win. It was an incredible turn of foot this horse showed. Actually producing a very fast speed figure as well for the grey. And I desperately wanted to get with the form and Pixie Spirit. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to tip that. The only time I haven't tipped Pixie Spirit this season, because we don't do podcasts on a Saturday, because it won at Limerick on Saturday night. So I was kicking myself with that. But we made amends by putting up Big Bad Lily, who finished third at the Curragh on Sunday. That won at 10-1 for us. So this race is beginning to work out well. The speed figure is good, and the second and third are both won. So we've got to believe that Lily's Prince, if in the same form, can do the same again. It's got a tricky draw to overcome, but that wouldn't necessarily really put me off her, because she comes from a long way back anyway. So to be fair, Gary Phillips will probably drop her in from stall 12. She'll probably be last turning in again, but she has got a good turn of foot. Straits of Zanzibar, I'll take them along at good pace. I think he's the danger. But hopefully Lily's Prince, who come from a long way back last time out with a good turn of foot, can do it again.
OK, next up is the 8 o'clock handicap over a mile and a half. And Pyromaniac is your odds-on favourite here. Won 5 days ago. Trained by Tony Martin, who's very, very good at placing his horses. They tend to run up a sequence if they can get one in. Obviously, only 5 days ago, so carries a mandatory £5 penalty. Fran Berry takes the ride, and he's very well fancied here.
Yeah, this is the one that's one of the few tonight that I'm just not sure what to do with this, whether to tip it and go with it and say, you know, we should take the even money 10 to 11 or look for something else. It's very persuasive, obviously. Used to be with Tommy Stack. First run for Tony Martin. Looked a totally different animal. Had the tongue tie on the cheek pieces. And to be fair, bolted up at Leopardstown the other day. Landing a bit of a punt. Similar kind of race tonight. similar kind of horse. He's only off a £5 high mark. Tricky draw to overcome, but it is a mile and a half, so you know, it gives Fran Brenny plenty of time to get into a good position. I don't know. 10 to 11, it's not going to change my life if I tip that. So I'd rather go for something at a much bigger, juicier price. Now, I'm going to try and hit one at the park here. This horse comes out of that race, which I've been dead keen to get with in the last week or two, and it's paid dividends. That Mascoon Maiden on the 18th of May at Navan, and virtually everything out of that race has run well subsequently. So I've got to go with Windward Passage here at a massive 25-1. This is one that I think bookmakers have just slightly slipped under the radar here. They've completely missed. And there's reasons to believe that this horse could certainly run better than its official rating of 73. I think he's done well to get this horse handicapped. And Paddy Prendergast is a good trainer of these kind of horses. He's got a horse in his yard called Tonton Makute, who similarly to this one had three runs for handicap mark and has won twice subsequently at Clonmel and the Curragh. So if that horse is anything to go by, we should expect a decent run out of this Windward Passage. You've got to go back to this horse's first run in its career as well. Now, read this. It finished eighth in a maiden at Leopardstown behind Free Eagle, who then finished second to Australia. But the roll of honour in that race is quite extraordinary. Orchestra was second, of course, ran in the Derby. Third Dimension, Gerlines' horse, won a maiden first time out. Kingfisher won at Chester. And you've got horses like Carazar as well that were in that race. It was just an incredibly, incredibly good maiden. So I had absolutely no chance in that race. But those two maidens, that one at Navanan and its debut at Leopardstown, suggest this horse has got far more ability than, if you like, the betting public is aware of. And at 25-1, we've just plain and simply got to back this horse each way at that price.
Okay, very interesting there. Windward Passage the pick in the 8 o'clock. The penultimate race on the card comes up at 8.30. It's Division 1 of a handicap over a mile and a half. These last two races, not the strongest on the card, certainly. Colapia heads affairs at the time of recording for the 8.30. I certainly get the impression that this is one that you'll be keen to take on, Andy, but what do you think?
Not necessarily, no. I've tried to this morning when I've looked through the race because... whether that run was a red herring the other day and a bit of a fluke, you don't know. But the suggestions are now, looking at the way the race has panned out, we've had a couple of runners out of the race and they've both run well. I think we've got to get with the form. It's course form, that's one thing to say. And because Killian Hellesy, being a very good £7 apprentice, gets to take off the penalty that this horse picked up the other day, it's effectively running off the same mark. OK, the ground's slightly different. It was yielding to soft the other night and it's now good ground. I wouldn't have thought that would inconvenience us. Mare's got form on a variety of surfaces. And the fact that she beat a horse called Dragon Fay, who posted a good number for a horse of that grade at the Curragh on Sunday, suggests that I think we've got to stay with the form come the close of play. So I did try to look for something else, but I just couldn't find it. So in the end, I'm going to play with the straight bat and go with Colapierre each way.
OK, then. The final race is the 9 o'clock. Division 2 of the same handicap over a mile and a half. They go without Stockton's Wing here. Down at the bottom, that is a late non-runner in terms of recording this, but this is recorded at about 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So, again, bits and pieces of form to go off. Could be a lurker, in, if you like, as much as you can have a lurker from Aidan O'Brien's yard in Duarte Fernandez, but that certainly isn't a stable star, and it looks a tricky race to call this.
Yeah, we've got another Tony Martin horse here who could be another potential gamble in the shape of Greatness. Greg Gelding by Dalakani, who won at Kilbeggan the last time we saw it on the 1st of June. Come from a long way back. Looked a tricky ride on that occasion. Needed all that 2 miles to get up. Hence the fact that the visor now goes on this horse for the first time. Prior to that, run really well at Wexford on the flat when doing some good late work behind Hurricane Jojo. This galloping track should suit this horse much better than Wexford did, and you know, off a mark of 58, considering you know it comes here in good form, could be another one plotted up, and it's the same owner as Pyromaniac as well, so that there might be some doubles and doubles flying around in the direction of the two Martin horses tonight. I certainly wouldn't put you off him. Others to mention: Christie's Call ran in a very good race on the numbers down in Roscommon the other night when chasing home Irish Reel. I think that horse could run quite well at a price. And another one to mention at that massive price, a horse called Dancing with Angels, who was second to Toe of the Line 2 starts ago at Roscommon. over a mile and a half, travelling well in that race after a slow start, and once again was incredibly slowly away. It doesn't really tell you the whole tale of how far behind that horse was at after a couple of furlongs. It was probably the best part, 10 to 15 lengths off the last horse. It certainly can't afford to do that again, but up in trip and with a better break, I do think that horse could outrun its odds. But 0 from 21, there's a reason behind that. That's why it hasn't won, because it is so slowly away more often than not. So those are just a couple to keep an eye on at prices. For those of you that like a bit more of a speculation, Dancing with Angels and Christie's Call. But I think Greatness is definitely the one to beat and would be the number one choice.
Okay, Greatness, the pick there in the Lucky Last. Great stuff, Andy. Thank you for your time. I believe you're in the studio tomorrow.
I am indeed, yeah.
Good. It'll be good to hear you.
Hopefully I can finish before the first game of the World Cup.
No, I don't think you will, because I'm going out for a drink with Stephen Powell tomorrow night, and he's on the radio, and I think he's getting a flyer. So,
oh, is he? Oh, right, yeah, okay.
I think he booked that one in a few weeks ago. So,
so there's no chance then.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, but no, great to hear from you. Best luck with those picks, and we'll catch up with
you
soon.
Thanks, buddy. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.